Glory to God. All right, so we've been on this series for just a couple of weeks now, talking about the life of victory. Doesn't that sound good? Just hearing that, doesn't that just make you feel good? No?
Yeah.
Okay, it does, right? Yeah? Come on, it's okay to participate. It's class participation, students. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. But we're talking about this life of victory, and we spent the last couple of weeks just talking about the mentality of, or I think I called it the symptoms of a victim, right? Or you could call it the victim's mentality. Today we're going to talk about the mentality of a victor. Amen? Now, I didn't take the time that it would have taken to cover everything that I could have covered in that, but I think I gave you a good understanding that a victim's mentality is kind of a loser mentality. In other words, you're always expecting to lose. You're always expecting bad things to happen. You're always, oh, what's coming next, right? You got to be careful. Don't let the enemy, that's the enemy trying to get you to think that way. He wants you thinking victim. He wants you to think that something always bad. You can never win. You never win this contest. You can never win. Nothing good ever happens to you. That doesn't sound like God. The Bible says God is good and only good. The Bible says in James 1:17, it says every good and perfect gift comes down from God. See, that means sickness and disease don't come down from God. That means poverty and lack and destruction does not come down from God. I don't care if insurance companies call earthquakes and hurricanes the finger of God. That's not true. You quit going to the first book of Allstate or whatever insurance company you have. Come on, we're not looking to the insurance company to tell us how to believe. We're looking to the Word of God. And the Bible says God is good and is only good. Amen? How many know good and bad cannot flow from the same fountain? Good water and bad water cannot flow from the same fountain. So there is no bad in God. Zero, zilch, nada, none. Right? Right? Are you with me? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So here we go. Let's talk about this, the victor's mentality. All right. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, we started this series off in 2 Corinthians where it says in chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, you know, we believe like the psalmist said, I believe, therefore, I spoke. He says, we also believe, we therefore speak. And then what he was saying is, we have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith that the psalmist had. Amen? So it's a spirit of faith. It's not just a regimented, okay, I need to make sure I need to do things that show that I have faith. No, you need to get it to where it's part of you. It's part like when you woke up this morning, did you pay attention that you were breathing? No, you didn't pay attention that you were breathing because it's something that's part of you, right? You didn't pay attention to how many turns it took to get to the church or how many times you hit your blinker or pumped your brake or pressed the accelerator. You probably didn't pay too much attention. Well, maybe some, but the way you dressed. But there are certain parts and garments that we put on that we don't even pay attention to. We just grab it and put it on. Socks, right? I didn't pay attention to my socks. I laid them out and I took them and I just put them on. See, you want this spirit of faith to become part of you like that, where it's part of your inner consciousness. It's part of inside. It's part of who you are, man. In other words, I just walk by faith. I just trust God. Situation comes up, a challenge comes up, something trying to discourage you. But God, who is rich in his mercy. Oh, but God, who is so rich in his mercy. He's going to help me. God's got this. Oh, glory to God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But how many people have the bad habit of going, oh, no. Oh, me. Oh, wow. I don't know how this is ever going to change. Nothing ever good happens to me. How many people think like that? But God says, come on. Come on, let me just make this statement because I want to make sure it's clear. If you're here today and you feel like you're in despair, don't give up. This message is for you. And here, let me tell you what I don't do here. I don't preach against anything. I preach for stuff. I preach for the joy of the Lord. But I'm trying to help you to see that if you will take on his joy and you allow his joy just to saturate your heart, saturate your life, the things of despair will just fall away. They will. They will. I want to encourage you. They will. I've been there. I've been discouraged. I've been in despair. But I refuse to let it keep me down. Remember how we started this series? Talking about all the stuff Paul went through. He says, I was knocked down, but I wasn't knocked out. So even bad things happened to the Apostle Paul. How many know that even bad things happened to Jesus? So you can't go blaming yourself. Well, it's because of all the sin in my life. Well, Jesus had no sin, and bad things still happened to him. But he also walked through them victoriously. He walked through them. Yeah, but what about when he died on the cross? They killed him. No, he says, no man takes my life. I lay it down. They couldn't have done it had he not allowed it. And do you know why he allowed it? Because he loved you so much. He loves you so much that he says, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to allow my blood to be shed so that I can bring them back into fellowship with the Father and just bestow all this good stuff on their life. Amen. So listen, if you feel discouraged, come on, there's good news here for you today. God loves you. He's got a word for you. He got you here today because he knew what I was going to be talking about. You know why he knew? Because he's the one that told me to say it. Amen? All right. 1 Samuel, everybody there yet? 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want us to look at an example of a lady who was in despair. In fact, she made it her identity. I mean, she identified with it. It's like, this is who I am, right? But I'll show you the end result, and it's a good one. I'll go ahead and kind of give you the spoiler alert there. All right, let's look in verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 7. We're talking about the victor's mentality today, all right? But I'm going to show you how this lady went from a victim's mentality to a victor's mentality. And it's, can I just tell you, it is so simple. It is so simple. This is not a 10-step, 20-step, 30-step program. It's a one-step. All right, you ready for this? This is going to be good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, verse 7, it says this. Now, so here they are. You know, Elkanah's married to these ladies, you know. And anyway, so back then they had two wives, okay? We don't do that anymore, right? We're not supposed to do that anymore. But back then he had these two wives. And one wife was able to have children, and the other one wasn't able to have children. And so when it came to rationing out food, because the one had, it was her and her children, then Elkanah, the husband, would distribute food to them and give more because of the kids. Well, this lady, Hannah, she didn't have any kids, so he gave enough for her, just her. Well, the other wife would taunt and tease would tease Hannah because she didn't have as much food and she didn't have any children. Well, this would make her depressed and make her sad, and it would make her cry. And so all this kind of stuff. So we're going to pick up the story about right there. And I want you to know this first year. This describes a lot of people. Watch this. Year after year, it was the same. Year after year, it was the same. And he goes on to say, it was the same. Peninnah, which was the first lady's name, would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears. Each time, every time, year after year. So this didn't go on for a few weeks or a few months. This was being bullied for years, right? Right? We talk a lot. Bullying's a big topic these days. Come on, this woman was being bullied by the other wife, right? That's probably a good reason why it's good for us to only have one now. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says, year after year it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah, the husband, would ask. Why are you crying, sweetie? What's going on? Why? You're always crying year after year. You do this every year. You're always crying. Honey, what's wrong? Why are you so sad? And he said this. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be so downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. You have me, baby. And you know what she did? Right? Hallelujah. Come on, man. It's going to be okay. All right. You have me, baby. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Then it goes on to say, once after a sacrificial lamb at Shiloh, that Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. You know, it's one thing to go to the Lord and let him know what you're going through. It's another thing to do this year after year after. Didn't I read that in the Bible? This happened year after year. She's crying bitterly. It's one thing when you first go to the Lord, God, I just don't understand. But then you need to begin to look at what his word says. And if you believe God and you're going to him to pray to him, then hopefully you're going and praying to him because you believe him. And if you believe him, then you can believe his word. Once you get his word, the crying and the bitterness and the anguish and the sorrow needs to stop. Because those are the things that are stopping you from becoming victorious. See, as long as you stay in that sorrow, you stay in that weeping and anguish and, oh, God, when are you going to do something? Oh, God, I've been suffering for so long. Oh, God. As long as you're doing that, that is not faith. And God is not moved by your desperation. He is moved by faith and faith alone. Right? Now, please understand, I know what it's like to be in pain. I know what it's like to be hurt. I've been in those moments of despair. I've been in those moments of anguish. But then I begin to run to God, and I begin to see what his word says. And I made a decision today, I'm going to believe God and his word. So if I believe God and his word, then I'm going to act like God's word is true. That means I'm going to stop the sorrow. You know, hey, things happen. Things happen. I mean, just something came up this week with me, and I could be sitting at home moaning and groaning, and believe me, I started to, because I didn't like the report that I got. But you know what? I thought, wait a minute. No, God is God. God is God. God can. Did you know that God can change anything that quick? But not while I'm moaning and groaning. But when I step out in faith, say, Father, and I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. So easy. So easy. Come on. Remember what we said last week? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. With God, it's easy and it's light. It's easy and it's light. Come on. With God, everything is easy. Man, it's quiet up in here. Right? Now, I didn't say that it was easy on your mind sometimes, because the enemy's always trying to attack our mind to tell us how bad it is. Oh, this is never going to get turned around. But when you put your trust and your faith and your confidence in God and in God alone, and you get into that place that I'm going to tell you about in just a little, yeah, well, just tell me. No, I've got to build the suspense. Come on, we're going to get there. And Hannah's going to show us what she did. But when you feel all that and you begin to do it God's way, it always works. Always. Always works when you do it God's way. You know why? Because God has never failed. God has never failed. Now, people may not have got their healing because they didn't trust God or whatever, but it was never, never God's fault. Amen. When I run into something and my faith don't seem to be working like, and it's not producing like I think it should, then it's like, okay, I don't go, God, what the heck? I go, okay, Ken, where are you missing it? Lord, I do say God. I say, God, show me where I'm missing it. Show me where I've come short, because faith in you always produces results. You know, I heard this from Jerry Savelle this week, and it was so good. He said this. He says, talking about that scripture where Jesus says, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Because, see, some people like to use that verse and go, see, faith can fail. That's not actually properly interpreted there. What that means when he says, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail, what in the original text, what that originally meant and it means today is I've prayed for you that your faith would not be reduced to inactivity. Thank you, baby. because she heard it too. I have prayed for you that your faith would not be reduced to inactivity. Did you know, as a Christian, we are never supposed to be in a place where we don't need to use our faith. You should always believe in God for something. If your body's completely well and your finances are in order and your kids are doing great and your marriage is wonderful, that's fantastic. Well, there's other things you can be believing God for. But if your marriage is not great, you've got something to believe God for. If your kids are not perfect, then you've got something to believe God for. If that husband or that wife is driving you nuts, you've got something to believe God for. Right? If those finances are not all dialed in and there's struggles, you've got something to believe God. We should always be in a place. Now, I'm not saying we should always be in a place of we're constantly supposed to have a need. No, God says, I'll supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But the faith life, the Christian life is a faith life. It's walking by faith. But you can walk in victory even when circumstances don't look favorable. Amen? We're gonna get to that. All right, so where are we? What verse? Pick it up at 9. Thank you. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours his entire life. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Right? Verse 12, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli, right, the prophet, or the man of God there, the priest was as she was praying, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. Must you come up in here, girl? Had demanded. Throw away your wine. She said, oh, no, sir. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Right? There must have been something about the way she was praying in her anguish and sorrow that made him think that she was hammered. It's a good word for it. Extremely intoxicated. Belligerent comes to mind, right? But anyway, I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Did you know there are times you can be you can do spiritual activity and still not be in faith? You can be doing spiritual. How many times people pray? I've been praying, PK. I've been praying, but God's not doing anything. Well, that right there shows me a lack of faith. And even before I saw it, God sees it. You can be doing spiritual stuff and still not be in faith. Right? All right, so let's keep going. So it says this. It says, oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. I was very discouraged. See, she's identifying with her discouragement. She sees herself as a discouraged person. She sees herself depressed. She sees herself discouraged. She sees herself defeated, right? So we got to break that identity. You got to take on the identity that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's an identity of faith. Amen? But I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, he said, go in peace. Now hear what the man of God said. Go in peace. May the Lord of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Ready? Oh, thank you, sir. There's your answer. Oh, thank you, sir. Didn't say that she fasted for another 40 days. Didn't say that she prayed for another 14 hours straight. It just simply says, oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back. Now, remember, this is year after year. This woman had been depressed, prayed in anguish and sorrow, and she was sad. I mean, praying so much, her husband's like, come on, baby. You got me. I'm better than 10 sons, right? Come on, girl, why are you so sad? This is something that it was her lifestyle to be sad. Now watch this. "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again and was no longer sad. No longer sad. Can I say this to you? You no longer have to have one single sad day. PK, I don't know. I just kind of had a sad day the other day. I just kind of, I was just off. You don't have to be off. The only time your day can be sad, the only time your day can be off is when you've chosen that day not to trust God. Because if God's on the throne, and he is, if God is a provider, and he is, if God is a healer, and he is, if God is your God, and hopefully he is, then it's a good day. Why? Because the one that has the answer is still in your corner. The one that has the answer is still in your corner. You don't have to wait to see what the report is. Some people, I heard a guy say this, Keith Moore said this. He said a guy came to him one time and says, "Brother Keith, I just want you to be praying and believing God with me." He says, "What? Okay, what are we believing God for?" And he says, "Okay, I'm going to the doctor's appointment. I'm believing for a good report." He says, "What if you don't get one?" So is your faith in the good report, or is it in God's report? Whose report, the Bible says, will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. You don't have to be moved because numbers aren't right. You don't have to be moved because reports are not right. Just because you don't get the report you wanted doesn't mean that's the end of the story. Unless you get a report that's validated that God fell off his throne and no longer exists, then you've got hope. And let me let you know, God's never going to fall off his throne and he's never going to become into non-existence. God is God, and I believe God, right? Isn't that what Paul said when he was on that ship? I believe God that it will be just as he told me. Paul's also the one that says, all these things that he went through, he says, but none of these things move me. None of these things. Now, I'll admit, if you focus on the circumstances, if you focus on the symptoms, if you focus on the scenario, the challenge, then you're gonna start getting moved. And it's gonna move you right into despair, right into defeatism, all that. But if you keep your eyes on God, not the circumstances, you don't need a positive report to believe God. Oh, thank God. How many know? Once you've got a good report, there's no faith required. Did you ever think about that? Once you have the answer, no faith required, right? But I'm going to show God that I believe him no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Hey, we all face these struggles. We all face these challenges. And if you're here, my heart goes out to you if you're here with despair. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to cry with you. I'm not here to soil tissues with you. I'm here to put faith into you. I'm here to help you to see that God is God and there is none greater. There's no sickness greater than God. There's no disease greater than God. There's no report that's greater than God. There's no circumstances that's greater than God. God is God, and that needs to be your daily declaration. When that challenge comes, God is God. Faith comes by, and hearing should come by. Come on, faith comes by hearing what you listen to the most. So you need to start being careful what you allow to come out of your mouth. You need to be careful what you allow to come out of your mouth. And how do you change what comes out of your mouth? Well, the Bible says the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So then that means we need to start paying attention to what we're allowing to get in our heart. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son," and he was talking to his son, but he's talking to all of us. "My child," let's say it that way, pay attention to the words that I say, right? Give heed to the things that I hear. Let them get into your ears. Let them get in before your eyes. Let them get down to the midst of your heart. From out of your heart flow the very issues of life. We need to pay attention to the words we're saying. Even if you're by yourself. Oh, I don't have no preacher here to correct me. Okay, good. I can say whatever I want to. No, you don't want to be like that. Because God's hearing everything you... David. Oh, no, was it David? Who was it? I think it was Job. Can't remember. He said, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me. And let me assure you, the enemy's always right there ready to take every negative word you speak and try to begin to manifest it. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Because as we speak words of faith, there are angels right there. The Holy Spirit's right there ready to take those positive words and begin to manifest them into your life. Hallelujah. See, this is all of this is connected to your words. Change your words and you'll change your life. Change your words and you'll change your circumstances. That's why he says, for we have the same spirit of faith that the psalmist had when he said, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and we therefore speak. It's all right there in your words. In other words, your situation is in your control. It is in your control. You get to control your atmosphere and your future. Amen? Glory to God. All right, let's look at what. Go to Nehemiah chapter. Oh, wait, I didn't finish. Oh, let me finish this real quick. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back in again. It was no longer sad, right? Watch this verse, these next couple of verses. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once again. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. Did you notice that, though? It says, in due time. Didn't say, oh, she said thank you once, and pop, there she's pregnant. No. I believe she kept thanking God because she believed the word of the Lord. She believed the word from the man of God. She believed the word of the Lord. And that's our victory right there. Believing in the word of the Lord even before you see the manifestation of it, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. That's saying, nope, I believe God. I don't care what it looks like. I believe God. I trust God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget the thank yous. Don't forget the thank yous. Remember, Jesus said he prayed for these 10 men with leprosy. And he says, now, he prayed for them. And then he said, now go show yourself to the priest. And one of them came back and said, oh, thank you so much for what you did for me. He goes, great. Where's the other 9? Kind of makes you wonder if they stayed healed. Right? Because thankfulness is what helps us to get healed and to stay healed. Thankfulness helps us to get provided for and stay provided for. Thankfulness helps us to get peace, to get joy, and stay peaceful and stay in joy. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. And obviously he granted. Amen? Isn't that good? Go to Nehemiah chapter 8 real quick. Hallelujah. It's about 180 pages to the right in my Bible. If that helps you. Maybe not. All right, here we go. Nehemiah chapter 8. And verse 9, it says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites were interpreting for the people. Interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn and weep. See, usually people like to jump to verse 10 and says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 And then a few minutes later, they're complaining and moaning and groaning about their situation. Oh, but the joy of the Lord is my strength, Pastor. But then a few minutes later, they're moaning and groaning about their situation. Now watch this. This is what I notice. Before it says the joy of the Lord is your strength, it says don't weep or mourn. Don't weep or mourn on such a day as this. For today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. In other words, they're listening to the preaching, and they're moaning, and they're weeping. Oh, ah. And maybe you're here today, and you're hearing this message, and this is a message of faith. But maybe you're sitting here and you're going, oh, but you just don't understand. Nobody knows. Right? Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't understand my situation. My situation is like worse than anybody's situation. You just don't understand what I've been going through. PK, you just don't get it. I tell you what I do get. I do get that if you will stop the moaning, stop the complaining, stop the groaning, and start thanking God for the answer will come. That's what I do know. You're right. I may not know what you've been experiencing, but I know what you can experience. Amen. If you will give it to God and thank Him for it. Amen. Thank Him for the answer. A thankful heart is always a happy heart. Amen. Amen. A thankful heart is always a happy heart. All right. So let's look at this. He says, so don't mourn and weep on such a day as this. Da, 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 for the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, you don't get no joy in thinking about the circumstance. You don't get no joy and gladness of heart because you're just focused on how bad things are. You get joy when you begin to think about there's light at the end of this tunnel. Hallelujah. Healing is on my way. In fact, I've got it right now. I've got it right now. The Bible says that He's already done the healing work. Thank you. It's not saying, Lord, I thank you that one day I'm going to be healed. It's saying, Lord, I thank you that I am healed. But what if I still feel symptoms? Who cares? Who cares? Well, I care. You know, I get that. Remember what I said last week? A quote from a coach. He said this. He says, so what? What now? Okay, I get that you're hurting. But is what you've been doing helping your hurting? So that's what he means by so what? And it's what he tells his players. If they have a bad play, if they had a bad week, if they got an injury, whatever, so what? What now? In other words, I can't do anything about what's already happened to you, but what are you going to do from this point forward? Are you going to continue to moan and groan and be in doubt and unbelief? Or are you, and in frustration? Or are you going to say, you know what? The devil's a liar. I'm not giving him the satisfaction. I'm not even going to let him know he hurt me. I'm just going to continue to believe God. I'm going to continue to thank God, and He's going to manifest the goodness in my life. Amen. All right, real quickly, let's look at the definition of I gave you the definition of a victim. I want to give you the definition of a victor. Come on, this should get you up off your seat. Woo-wee! Glory to God. Watch this. Ah, the victor's mentality. You ready? This is a victor's mentality. And everybody in here can walk out of this building today with this mentality. It's a choice. It's a choice you make, and I promise you God will honor this choice. Watch it. This is the definition of a victor. A person who succeeds in contest. A person who succeeds in contest. See, when you're being challenged in your health or in your marriage or in your job or in your life, and no matter what it is, you're being contested. The enemy is contesting your healing, because your healing is already there. You're already healed. Jesus already did the work. See, what people do, they get confused with the healing and then the manifestation of it. Well, I don't feel healed. I'm not asking you to be moved by your feelings. Paul said, none of these things move me. I'm not moved by emotions. I'm not moved by feelings. I'm moved by what God's word said. Amen. And He said, I'm healed. If He says I'm healed, I'm healed. And when something's trying to challenge my healing by putting symptoms on me, that's a contest. But a victor's mentality, now a victim's mentality just succumbs to the contest and goes, Yep, I've got these symptoms. Yep, I guess that's just my lot in life. Yep, I guess that's just the way it is. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. No, change cookies. If it's a crumbly cookie, reach and grab a good cookie. Come on. All right. A person who succeeds in contests. Watch this. And it gets better. Watch this. A champion. Do you walk around with a champion's mentality? Man, I'm a champion. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a champion. Glory to God. I'm not defeated. I haven't lost. No, God's still on the throne. That means I win. I win. A champion. A master. A master. Oh, God, I thank you that you make me a master. I am the master of every situation because of your grace in my life. Because you're anointing up on me. I've got your word. That makes me a master. I am master over this symptom. I am master over this challenge. I am master over this struggle. Because the master gave me his word. So I'm going to speak the words of the master. That makes me a master. Amen? A conqueror. Here we go. You ready? A vanquisher. I like that word. Vanquisher. That means you just utterly, you're just a champion. Man, you're just like, yeah, whatever. Devil, you're a liar. At famine and destruction, God laughs. Why don't we? When the enemy's bringing in symptoms, oh, you think you can actually do that? Whatever, you big loser. How many know it's okay to call the devil a loser? He is a loser. All right, what about vanquisher, a conquistador? Come on, so many people are going, I'm going to go home and look those up. A conquistador, a winner. Come on, this is the mentality of a victor. This is the mentality of someone that has made the decision, I'm going to walk in victory. Challenges, did you know champions, rather be in Olympics or whatever sport, you know, they don't walk around before the championship with a loser's mentality. They start every game knowing we can win this thing. I'm not here to play just for exercise. I'm here to win. They live with that mentality. They're in the weight room working out because, man, I can do this. Glory to God. It's an I can do attitude. Amen. I love that. All right. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and then we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read these out of the New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 57, and the next one we've already read, but I'm going to read it again. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. You ready? Are you ready? Yep. Are you ready? Yep. Okay, just making sure you're awake and ready. I'm almost done. You'll get to your burritos here in just a little bit. All right, hang on. Or whatever you're eating. But thanks, did you hear that word? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already done the work for you. The Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle. Heather was talking about that locker a while ago. There was a few details she kind of forgot. But one of the things was that student, you know, when he went on his way to school praying, and he's like, okay, Lord, I give you my locker. Well, here's the deal. The guy had asked him, he said, if that was somebody, because he was really frustrated because somebody kept messing with his locker and jamming it closed or whatever he was doing, you know. And so he asked me, he said, well, if that was happening to somebody else, what would you be doing? He said, I'd probably laugh. He goes, well, that's your problem. You keep hanging on to something. Give that locker to God. So he said, okay, Lord, I give you this locker. This is kind of weird, but I give you my locker. And he walked into the school, and he could tell from a distance somebody had already been messing with his locker. And instead of getting angry, he said, look, Lord, somebody's messing with your locker. See, when the enemy attacks you, you need to go, Lord, did you see that? The enemy's trying to attack your vessel. He's trying to attack this marriage that you ordained. He's trying to attack your children. Quit taking everything so personal. But man, it's me. It's personal. Give it to God. It won't be as personal. You have to see. The Bible says cast all of your care over on him because he cares so much for you. Give it to him. Give it to him. One more verse. Okay, then we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14, so it's a reminder from last week. right? The first one said, now, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks, there's that word again, thanks be to God who always, always. I had to remind the devil this week a few times. No, that means always. That doesn't mean every other time but this week. It means always. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. 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 Does that mean there's ever a time when he doesn't? No, that means there's never a time. That means we will always, if we're trusting in God, if we're looking to him to be our source and our supply, if we're looking to him to be our helper, and he says that he is, then he will always lead us in victory. Always. Every time without fail. If we're trusting in him. We got to keep our eyes on the prize, our eyes on the Lord, and say, nope, Lord. No, in the name of Jesus, I always know what I need to know when I need to know it. I always know that you're my healer. I always know that you're my victor. Thank you, Lord, for making me a victorious person. I choose the mentality of a victor. Amen. Isn't that good? Stand up on your feet.